I'm sort of fortunate in a way that I work with a lot of really good women economists, who I would call them feminist economists. And the ones I've talked to said they actually weren't shocked by the findings, that this is kind of, it sort of supports their sort of impression of sexism in the profession, which is, you know, I mean, it's incredibly sad, right? Because, you know, you have people who are really talented who are going to turn away from this because of the sexism.
That's David Kushera, senior economist at ILO's Employment Policy Department, reflecting on the stubborn fact that sexism remains rife, even in the cerebral world of economics. Welcome to our bi-monthly gender-focused podcast from UN News. I'm Fatima Mendez. The International Labor Organization, or ILO's, World Employment Social Outlook Trends for Women 2018, released this month, states that when it comes to gender parity in the workforce, women are gradually catching up with men in many developed countries. According to the report, in all parts of Europe except the East, the gender gap decreased from 12.5 points in 2016 to 11.9 last year. The report attributes this achievement to near-equal job opportunities for men and women and highlights the important role of public policies that support families and the work-life balance. In 2010, the European Commission published what is known as its Women's Charter, calling for equality in decision-making and a better gender balance within the European Union's key institution. How will an increase in representation of women in decision-making roles within the European Union affect policies? That is the key question a recent survey supported by ILO tries to answer. Senior ILO economist David Kushera, who's based in Geneva, co-authored the Gender and European Economic Policy Survey, and Anne-Marie May, a professor of economics at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln in the United States, was the head researcher. With the different gender perspectives in mind, we arranged to interview them both separately from our podcast studio here at UN headquarters in New York. I first spoke with Mr. Kushera and asked him why it was important to research this topic.
Why is gender equity in economics, or in any field, why is it important? There are two ways of thinking about it, at least. One is it's a question of fairness. Women ought to have the same opportunities, the same potential to, you know, participate in economic decision-making. But then the question is, and there's kind of an assumption underlying this, that it will somehow affect policy outcomes, right? But that depends on men and women economists actually having different views. Now, that's something that had not really been, you know, systematically assessed at all until Anne-Marie and Mary's paper on the U.S. and their co-author, Robert Waples. And for the EU, that hadn't been done at all until our paper. So that's really the kind of more substantive motivation we can get. And that's why I think it's kind of resonated, and that's why I think it's important. And it's also, it's not just they have different points of view, but they kind of, there's systematic differences even you see between men and women in both the EU and the US. And I think in terms of policy, you'll see that at least in some policy realms. I don't know if it's fair to use this word, but I think from my point of view that women's economist views on average tend to be more what I would call progressive. And I think that's clearly how the economists read it too. Stronger environmental protection. This sort of, you know, being more critical, I guess, of market solutions versus government policies.
What are the main findings of the study?
So there's a number of questions in the survey, but they're meant to represent five kind of main notions. And I'll talk about these five in sort of the order of the greatest difference between men and women. And the first one, where there's the greatest difference, is that market solutions are superior to government intervention. And women, on average, women economists, the ones we surveyed anyway, tend to disagree with that, whereas men tend to agree. And also, just to give you a little background, this is like, it's not just the raw survey results, right? It's an econometric analysis. So we're taking into account where these economists live, did they get their PhD in the U.S., the idea being that maybe that's a more mainstream education. And also, when did they get their PhD? So maybe young economists have different sorts of training, or they just have different, they're just sort of have different points of view more generally. So that's how to interpret that sort of difference, right? And then the second area of greatest difference is this whole issue of environmental protection. Should there be stronger environmental protection regulations? And women economists in the EU tend to agree with that. Men economists tend to disagree. The third one is basically this perception of inequality in labor markets. This is inequality in labor markets at large, but also inequality in terms of graduate education and inequality in terms of men and women economists in academia. And there, women economists, their view on average is that labor markets are unequal and they favor men more than women, whereas men economists, either they're sort of between neutral, or they actually tend to think, a number of them, that labor markets actually favor women and particularly within academia. And if you look, and there's a number of questions, again, within each of these five categories, but the question with the strongest difference was actually about inequality within academia. And that, of course, relates to, I mean, there's this whole broader debate that's been really very important in the last several months, at least, about basically sexism in the economics profession. And I'm sure, I mean, you may be familiar with a number of articles that have come out in the New York Times and also The Economist just in the last few months that really document this problem and just point to it being a real critical issue, I think, for the profession right now. For example, I think if we had come out with this article a year ago, I'm not sure The Economist would have picked it up as they had. I'm not sure it would have had such resonance as it has, partially because of the context of, you know, this real questioning of sexism and even misogyny within the profession. Then there's two other categories. There's the sort of issue of the importance of sort of basic mainstream, I would say, economic principles and methodology, which women in the EU tend to disagree with and men are more neutral. And that's actually one difference from the U.S. study, probably a key difference, is that there in the U.S. study, men and women economists tended to be pretty similar. And then there's a very small difference about this issue of taxing and spending and redistribution policies, whereas women economists tend to be slightly more in favor. But again, the difference is very, very small. For EU economists, it tends to be quite a bit different for the U.S. economists, and that partially could be because different questions could be asked of the U.S. because, you know, we're asking people in a number of different countries for which the inequality situation is quite different. So we tended to ask questions about inequality between EU countries rather than within them. And that could perhaps, I think, account for some of that difference in that result.
As a researcher and as the only male author of the study, what finding or outcome surprised you the most?
I don't know that I was... Well, actually, I would have to say it's perhaps the two last categories that I mentioned. I was a little bit... It was striking to me anyway that even when it comes to theory and methodology, that women economists in the EU tend to sort of disagree with sort of more mainstream perspectives. It's not obvious why that should be, and it was different from the U.S. study. After all, the men and women have similar kinds of training, so why should they be more, you know, why should they be more likely to disagree with those things? But there are other studies. There was a study in The Economist it was a Christmas issue of The Economist, and one of the findings there was that, and this is undergraduate economics education, I forget the country, it may have been the U.S., but women tend to enter into those studies being more skeptical than the men students as undergraduates, and they become increasingly skeptical as their studies continue, whereas men don't. Now, why that is, I don't know. They're getting the same kind of training, right? But there's something about their point of view that is just more critical in general of these sort of these mainstream perspectives, which I think is quite interesting. I mean, that's what struck me. But overall, I guess I couldn't say I'm particularly surprised by the findings because they're quite similar to the U.S. study.
So why are the findings relevant and important?
Well, it gets back to the whole issue of what is the motivation for this research in a way. I mean, it seemed to be the case as of a few years ago. It was the case as of a few years ago that women were becoming increasingly strongly represented in the profession. Now, what does that mean? That means that because men and women economists think differently, there's actually a greater variety of points of view within the profession and in terms of policy debates, and there's a question of potentially affecting policy outcomes to the extent that those debates influence policy outcomes. But now we're in a situation where that's really stalled, where there's actually even evidence of a slight decline in women's representation in economics. And there's always been this issue, much more longstanding, that women are very underrepresented in the more senior positions in the economics profession, at least within academia, both in Europe and the U.S. So that really shows that the range of perspectives within the profession are much less diverse than they could be. And I would argue that, I mean, at least from my point of view, being kind of a more progressive economist, I would also actually argue that that's not necessarily going to lead to the best outcomes. It's not just that you get more variety, but I think you get a more, a more varied debate, but I think also perhaps, from my point of view at least, a better, more fruitful debate.
I think you mentioned it a little bit, but in light of the outcomes of the study, what effect could gender equality and gender balance in the profession of economics have on policymaking in the European Union?
Well, if you take these findings at face value, what does it mean, actually? For example, just deal with the issue of environmental protection. Now, there's also studies that show, for example, in general, in the EU, academic economists have more influence in policy. They're a bit more engaged in policymaking, even at the local levels, right? Well, if you have more women economists, if women are more strongly represented in the profession, then you will actually have this sort of, there'll be sort of a shift if you like, and there'll be a more favorable predisposition towards policies towards environmental protection. So that actually could lead then to stronger policies for environmental protection within Europe. That's just one example, but you could apply the same examples to the issues of market solutions versus government policies. And again, there's very specific questions within that about minimum wages and so on.
The European Union issued a declaration prioritizing greater gender balance in decision-making in political and economic life. In light of your report, what more needs to be done to achieve gender parity in these areas?
Our report actually doesn't address that. But what is relevant, I think, is this whole issue of sexism and even misogyny within the profession. Like, why is it that women are underrepresented in the profession? And even when they are in the profession, they tend to, I mean, even if they've entered into it, let's say in terms of tenure-track positions, it takes them longer and they have to have a better publications record to get to the equivalent point in terms of being senior faculty, right? And there's also this issue, these surveys, which show that within the profession, compared to a number of other professions and even the other social scientists, that women tend to be much more dissatisfied than men economists within the profession. So there's something about it. I don't quite know. Again, our study doesn't really address that, but I think partially the reason why people are receptive to the findings of our study is this broader context of what's going on now. There was a study done, it got a lot of attention, I'm not sure you're familiar with it, it's by Alice Wu. She's a 22-year-old, she did it as her thesis at Berkeley, and now she's going to start soon her studies at Harvard. And this became a huge issue because she looked at this, it's a job network, and it's about gossip, job market gossip. And what she found was, to me, shocking anyway, how not just sexist the language was that's associated, so it's an anonymous, people are putting anonymous descriptions of, you know, various economists, not just that the language was sexist, but how truly misogynistic and even hateful it was. So that's the kind of, it was referred to by somebody as this is a, you know, a cesspool of misogyny, and it's really shocking to me, the language that was used. Now, I think that this is kind of the thing that women economists encounter, unfortunately, every day. I'm sort of fortunate in a way that I work with a lot of really good women economists who I would call them feminist economists. And the ones I've talked to said they actually weren't shocked by the findings, that this is kind of, it sort of supports their sort of impression of sexism in the profession, which is, you know, I mean, it's incredibly sad, right? Because, you know, you have people who are really talented who are going to turn away from this because of the sexism.
That was David Kushera, senior economist at ILO's Employment Policy Department from Geneva. Now to the head researcher for the survey, Professor Anne-Marie May. She conducted a similar survey in 2014 of economists in the United States, together with fellow research economists Mary G. McGarvey and Robert Waples. I started by asking her the same question I put to David Kushera. Why is it important to produce research on this whole topic?
The argument is often made that women need to be at the table when policy is being debated and policy is being developed. And it's sort of tacitly assumed that women's views are different from, you know, the guy sitting next to her, but it hadn't really been studied, which is sort of interesting to us as well, because particularly in the U.S., less so in the EU, but in the U.S., economists seem to do quite a bit of survey research. They like to ask themselves questions about themselves, but they had never looked at gender differences. And so since the demographics of the discipline is starting to change, albeit slowly, we wanted to know, is there a difference in the views of similarly trained male and female economists? And so it becomes an important question to ask in order to argue that women need to be there. And so the results, I think, lend credence to those who argue that it is important to have diversity at the table. It's important to include both men and women when research is being done as well as when policy is being debated.
Tell me a little bit about the research you did in the European Union.
So in the research on the European Union, we developed a survey, and we took participants from 18 EU countries, all of whom were faculty teaching in departments that offered PhDs in economics. And we sorted the questions into five topic areas because we wanted to cover a wide variety of policy issues. What we were interested in finding out is if there were gender differences in views between similarly trained male and female economists in these universities located in the EU.
What are the main findings of the study?
When we looked at the results, we controlled for things like year of PhD or degree vintage. We looked at the region of residence, and we also controlled for if the person completing the survey had received their PhD from the U.S. or from outside the U.S. And so what we found in terms of the results was interesting. We found that in all five areas, which looked at things like core principles and methodology, market solutions versus government intervention, austerity policies, environmental policies, and then gender equity, we found that in all five areas, there were statistically significant differences in the views of male and female economists. There was one group that had statistically significant differences in views, but the difference was very small. But overall, what we found was that there were differences in views of male and female economists on a wide variety of policy issues.
You worked in a similar survey originally in the U.S.
Yes.
I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about the main differences between the EU and the U.S. results.
Yes. So in the U.S. study, we also had five areas and similar five areas. And what we found in the U.S. study was that in three of the five areas, there were differences, but in two areas, there weren't. So in that group that looked at core precepts and economic methodology, in the U.S. study, there was no significant difference in the views of male and female economists, but there was in the European study. And then in the environment was also interesting because on environmental issues in the U.S., we didn't see differences in views of economists. But in the EU study, we did. And so that piqued our interest for the U.S. because, you know, you can only ask a certain number of questions in an entire survey before the participants get bored and say, okay, I'm done. And so we have to limit the number of questions in each category. And so we are currently working on another study that looks just at environmental issues to see if maybe we can learn more about those issues in the U.S. and if there are gender differences or not. Maybe there really aren't differences, or maybe there are and we just didn't pick it up in the first survey.
Are there other things you would like to research related to this topic?
So the overall research interest for me is to look at questions that I call of the profession. So, you know, it's interesting to know and important to know what happens to knowledge in a discipline. Does it change or not when the people who are doing the work in that discipline changes? And so, you know, in the U.S., we know, you know, that when women started to enter the discipline of history, that what counted as knowledge in history began to change and it began to expand. And so if one is interested in the larger questions of knowledge production, then it seems to me that one has to be interested in questions about the profession, the sociology of professions. And that's true in higher education as well as elsewhere. So that's sort of what motivates me to drill down on these individual questions to understand them better.
When I spoke with Mr. Kushera, he discussed other research that examined the gender gap and sexism and misogyny in the economics profession itself. And I was wondering if you had anything to say on that. Not necessarily your personal experience or not, but if you think that besides the gender gap, that there are other issues related to gender within the profession that should be addressed?
Yes, there are a lot of issues. And it's an interesting point in time right now because those issues are beginning to surface. And you're starting to see more and more news outlets, The Economist, a variety of important areas where we learn about the world are starting to cover what's happening in the economics profession and what's not happening in a variety of ways. So there's an exciting time right now for research, looking at the profession itself, looking at the factors that prevent women from moving through the system and becoming full professors at the same rate that men do. We have another study that we're working on, which is looking at editors. And if the profession itself, in terms of teaching faculty and research faculty, is skewed in economics, when one looks at the people who are actually deciding the fate of many scholars because of their role as editor, that's an even more skewed distribution. And if they have different views about economics and about economic policy, one can well see how difficult it may be for women economists to submit their work and have their work appreciated or related to in the same way if they have different views. It's just a very rich questions to be asked at this particular point in time.
What do you hope people will take from both your study in the U.S. and the EU?
Well, I, you know, would hope that students in the classroom would begin to think about the education that they receive and how important it is to have both male and female faculty. I would hope that, you know, granting agencies and governmental agencies would begin to understand, because the data shows us this, that having a diverse group of people on a research team does lead to a better understanding of the problem. It does lead to better research. And so it's important for them to, you know, ask who's on the research team and is there any gender balance on the research team. And the public that pays for and supports educational pursuits and research has a vested interest in making sure that a wide variety of views are represented in the development of research questions.
Is there anything further our audience should know about this study or topic?
I think that it's just, it would be important to begin to see that this may be a time of flux and that their role is important in determining what happens in higher education, and that they have a right and a duty and an obligation to speak up and make their views known as to, you know, who they want teaching their students and what sorts of knowledge then is going to be created as a result of who's doing this research. It matters greatly.
That was Anne-Marie May, head researcher of the ILO-supported survey on gender differences in economists in the EU. That's it for this edition of our UN Gender Focus podcast. I'm Fatima Mendez. Thanks as ever for listening.